From the shores of Summer Lake in Tigard, Oregon, it's the Portland Tim Beers Podcast, a show featuring two guys who love craft beer and Portland Timbers soccer. And now, here are your hosts, Jason and Gary.
Tim Beers. I'm Jason.
And I'm Gary.
And we're the Portland Tim Beers. We talk about soccer, beer, and pretty much whatever else. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we've got a action-packed episode for you listeners today, and all sorts of good stuff going on, but we had the chance to connect with Wolf Tree Brewing and the head of their marketing department, and so we have a great interview with the Oregon Coast's Wolf Tree Brewing. Very decorated brewery, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to connect with our boy Tim, see what's going on with him, and of course we'll do our favorite, I guess, segment, we call it, the Kickstart My Heart segment. And then we've got beer news, all sorts of news with NABBA and GABF going on. And,
oh, yeah, tons of stuff.
Other stuff popping there. And then you and I have been brewing quite a bit, so we'll get into the weeds there. But but let's get started. Visited the Oregon coast the last couple weekends and had the chance to visit several breweries along the coast, and one of those breweries was Wolf Tree Brewing. I think you and I ran into Wolf Tree when we worked the Winter Brew Festival many moons ago.
We did, and then we also did one of their beers. We did a review of it. They did it with Spruce Tips.
Yeah, and that's kind of what they're known for, is that Spruce Tip beer. And
pretty good, too. I really liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't too shabby. Opening a couple beers for us to enjoy, but as we're getting these open and situated and poured, why don't we take a listen to the interview with Wolf Tree Brewing and Elizabeth from Wolf Tree.
It's Jason from the Tim Beers here, and I am here at Wolf Tree Brewery in Newport, just south of Newport here, and this is a place that Gary and I have been talking about wanting to come for years as far as hooking up with these guys. So we ran into Wolf Tree probably a decade ago as they were entering one of their beers at the Winter Brew Festival. So I am here with Elizabeth and at Wolf Tree Brewery. She's allowed me to come up into this awesome space. I feel like we're like in a ghost tap room now in their original tap house up here. So why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell people about Wolf Tree.
Yeah, well, I'm Elizabeth. I am a bartender and the marketing manager, so about 50-50 there. I get to pour a lot of beer, and I get to take a lot of pictures of beer. It's awesome. And Wolf Tree is just this really, really great family-run small brewery and tap room in Oregon. We brew on a family cattle farm, which is probably like my favorite thing to brag to people about because it's just so unique. And then we've got a small tap room up in what's called the Wilder Community. It's up by a community college and this really adorable development with single family homes, apartments. We get a lot of people in here.
Yeah, pretty cool place. So it's again just south of the bridge, and you head up and there's a big huge boat looking thing that's being redone on the corner there. That's wicked.
It's a great landmark find us.
Well signed, huge billboard that says Wolf Tree this way, turn
beer
left.
Ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So and then you get here and there's this beautiful building and some trails around, all sorts of cool stuff. And it's hopping. It's busy outside.
Yeah.
Are you guys always this busy?
Usually busier. It's a nice slow Friday so far.
Slow.
It's
busy.
Slow
it's crazy
for
busy.
Us.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at the beer menu, and for a slow Friday, they're darn near out of beer, of their own beer.
You just got a delivery.
I know you did, totally.
Right.
And but they're slow.
Yeah.
So come check them out. I mean, they are unbelievable as far as the stuff they're doing. So why don't you tell me a little bit about, we were talking before, but about the beers that you do and that you're known for, because I fell in love with something with Wolf Tree that had fresh spruce tips in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a gin barrel aged crazy thing.
Yeah.
That was at the Winter Brew Fest. I'm like, we gotta learn more about this brewery.
It's just so wild.
So what do you do? What are you famous for?
So we're really famous for the spruce tip gruet. That's what we got known for. So a gruet is a beer that's traditionally brewed with some kind of herbs or just something other than hops. And in our case, we do it with spruce tips. So spruce tips that we harvest right on the farm or even right outside our tap room. Like, you can go across the street here and harvest spruce tips. So we always have, like, a big party with, you know, employees and their significant others and regulars that have basically just become family to the tap room. And we all get together out at the farm, and we go pick spruce tips for hours. And it's great. And you come back, and then, you know, a month or two later, you get the Spruce Tip Gruit in the tap room. And it's great. And it's, I mean, it's so good and so sought after that we don't even advertise it. Like, a lot of the times we'll say, like, oh, we got this new beer out and it's really good. But with this one, we just don't say anything about it because it would go way too fast.
Yeah, no, it's it's ridiculous good. And I think I got in a bottle a couple of years. Are you still bottling beers?
We bottle here and there. Right now, the only bottles that we have are Isn't That a Daisy? It's a Spruce Tip, or not a Spruce Tip, sorry. It's a gin barrel aged Saison. You just have me thinking about Spruce Tips now. It's a gin barrel aged Saison, which is really, really wonderful. Saisons and just weird, wild fermenting, different kinds of beers are kind of our thing.
Yeah, this Oregon Coast wild fermentation thing. You talked about the farm, and you talked about the cattle farm, and there's something to be said about the farmhouse ales and the kind of the wild fermentation. It's just, it kind of goes well together, right?
I mean, I didn't even, so I turned 21 after I had moved here, and I had my first beer at Wolf Tree. It was great. It was a very sentimental moment for me now. But I didn't even really like craft beer all that much. And then I had what we called Rake the Forest. It was a Spruce Tip Sour.
Whoa.
And so I think I jumped right into, like, one of the weirdest beers I could find. And I skipped over the IPAs and the porter. I skipped over it all. And I was like, this. Now I like craft beer.
Yeah.
So that really made me like craft beer. Right. And now I work here, and it's great.
Who wants a light lager that's just standard stuff?
No, I want a sour like, crazy.
Yeah, totally.
I love it.
Totally. Well, and so you talked about the focus of Wolf Tree's changed a little bit because there's been some transition, right? Some people have moved to Bend, and and so you guys are still brewing, but it's a smaller scale type brewing now.
It is. So it's going to be a little bit smaller scale, and it's going to be a lot of like one-off beers.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, if you come in one time and you say, oh, you have this really great Saison like that we have right now, it's a wonderful Saison. But if you come back in like 2 months, we're probably not going to have that one again. Mm. We're going to do a lot of single run beers. But that way, every time you come, something about Wolf Tree is exciting.
Cool. And so a beer truck just showed up. Point Blank, I think, is distribution just showed up.
Yeah, it's one of our distributors.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
So and so what do they bring? Any ideas? Anything good from you guys?
Let's see. So we actually don't distribute through them. We distribute through more artisan.
Okay.
So
what you guys have on tap is down there already, but you're bringing on some guest taps?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So we really, since we have scaled down our brewing, we like to focus on guest taps that you don't find everywhere else on the coast.
Okay.
So we love all of our other breweries that are around here. Actually, most of our bartenders will go to like Beer One Brewery on their days off. Like, we do love to support them, but we like to be the tap room where you can come here and find a beer that you didn't find anywhere else on tap on the coast. So Point Blank has a lot of imports that we like to get. We try to get all of our imports through them, try to get beers, you know, from other local Oregon places so that we can highlight them. A lot of Hood River things. We just have some trusty go-tos that we get from, like, Anderson Valley. We get quite a few Freem beers because they have never done us wrong with a good Pilsner, things like that. So when someone comes in, we like to have something for everyone.
Yeah, the easy drinkers that the normal people want versus us abnormal one-off people of like, hey, I want
something in a barrel.
Soil and a barrel or something crazy. So awesome. Well, I'm looking at an old tap list, I'm guessing, which is pretty awesome. I got to get a picture before I leave. But some of your guys' are old original stuff, but like Ship Biscuits Imperial Stout, Gnome Don't Play Dat, Fog Belt. Do you guys do any of this stuff anymore?
Once in a while, some of them will come back. We had the Widespread Haze back a little bit ago.
Okay.
Fog Belt is a similar recipe to Widespread Haze, but I believe that one is barrel-aged, if I remember correctly. And we do that quite a bit, actually. We'll bring back an old recipe, and then we'll have, oh, hey, we had this gin barrel lying around. Let's throw it in there and see how it tastes. And it's always ended up fantastic. Ship Biscuits, which you really have to enunciate on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that might not come back for a minute, but Bull of the Woods, that was a barley wine.
Yeah.
We just kicked that one a little bit ago. It was so good.
Ah.
Barley wine.
I'm digging barley wine,
10 to 12%.
Like another few months wine. And it'll be really drinking time on that. So.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Interesting. Well, yeah. Well, thank you for having us out. So I'm enjoying a Saison right now. And
it's a great Saison.
I'll probably try the Gruit before I leave.
You really should. It's got some really nice earthy floral notes right like at the back end of it.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's really surprising to
my wife's trying the Double Mountain Kolsch, so one of your guest taps.
Yeah,
so she's
that's
going
a good
nice
one.
And nice and safe down the middle there. So
nothing
but good.
Wrong
well,
with that.
Check these guys out. Wolf Tree Brewing out of Newport. Elizabeth, thank you for your time.
Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye-bye now.
All right. Big thanks to Elizabeth from Wolf Tree Brewing. So pretty interesting stuff there as it relates to what Wolf Tree's doing and kind of their refocus on smaller type one-off beers.
Yeah.
And again, featuring a lot of guest taps from around Oregon and Washington. So,
and I think to go to that whole one-off model is, I think it's more fun for the brewer that way.
Yeah, totally.
Because they're just not locked into doing the same beer over and over and over again. You know, tweaking it eventually, you know, every little bit just to get it to the best that it can be. But being able to do a new beer every time, that's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be interesting to see what they actually spin out and do and how well they do. So,
yeah.
Because these guys were popping off award-winning beers for at least a decade.
Right.
And then, but they've scaled back. And so, again, refocusing things and then, again, doing some distilling hopefully here pretty quick where they're doing whiskey and whiskey stuff up in their bar. So
a nice combo.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what? Rogue down the street's got that distillery thing that's separate from their brewery. So
oh, yeah.
It's kind of the thing. People are doing that stuff. So cool. Well, I brought back some stickers for you. So I visited Yahats Brewing as well as a couple other breweries. So, yeah, enjoy the stickers. Got a Wolf Tree sticker there and a Yahats sticker. I don't know where your sticker collection is, but my homebrew stuff rack is adorned with stickers. So
is Yahats right in Yahats, Oregon?
Yeah, right down in Yahats, down on the main street. That's actually a pretty cool brewery spot. They've got a farmer's, kind of like a market type thing inside where they do a bunch of like sauerkraut and other fermentation.
Yeah.
And some other stuff. But yeah, it's kind of cool.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, what are you drinking, dude?
Well, the first one that we were drinking, it looks like a Pilsner, and I think it was a Pilsner. Super clean. Pretty good taste, and I was actually shocked to hear where it was brewed from when you read it off the can.
Yeah, so it's a Pilsner by the name of Drowned Lands Brewery. They do this River Birch Pilsner, and it is 5.1% alcohol by volume. And it's called, actually, I guess it's called the Fodor Pilsner. But again, pretty awesome clean beer brewed out of Warwick, New York. So
did you just say a Fodor?
Fodor.
Oh, so they're doing it out of Fodors, huh? That's interesting.
Fodor Pilsner, yeah. So there's not a lot of other information on the can here, but interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And then beer two.
Beer two. Well, to me, it just smells like an IPA, but it probably has other connotations in it somewhere.
Yeah, so this is Block 15 and Great Notions collaboration they just did recently called Peach Punch. It's an IPA with peach and apricot, sitting at 7% alcohol. Heavy on the peach and apricot puree, but we're not pulling it out of the beer that much. So
no, not really at all.
Pulling a lot of the Galaxy Mosaic.
A lot of the hop flavor, but I don't exactly have the most refined palate in the world either. So
right,
it's probably why I'm not pulling out those subtle notes of the two different fruits.
Yeah, so it's interesting, but good beer, certainly has the hazy look to it, very mellow, and again, not overly juicy like you'd expect with a big, huge orange peach sitting on the side of this can.
No, yeah.
But certainly very drinkable and a little bit strong, 7%, so good beer. All right, buddy. Well, we got our buddy Tim calling in, so let's see what listener Tim is up to. And then we'll come back and tell you about beer three and potentially beer four.
Nice.
Hey, Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Mr. Rogers. How are you, sir?
We are good, man. Good here. Welcome to the Tim Beers show. It's been a while since we've had you on.
It has been such a long time. The last time I was on, the whole episode hit the floor and never even got aired.
Well, buddy, we got a cup. What are you, first of all, what are you drinking?
I am enjoying a Crux Fermentation Pert Near McKinsey Fresh Hop IPA.
Woo, where'd you find that at?
That was at Costco in Bend last weekend.
Costco?
It's pert near mediocre.
Yeah. So it hasn't quite hit the mediocre stage?
No, I'll give it mediocre. It's not going to go down as my favorite. Fortunately, it's not hazy, fazy, or wazy. But it is, it's definitely drinkable.
Well, as in Tim Beer's tradition, we've got four beers lined up here. And so we first started off with a Pilsner, but from Drowned Lands Brewing out of New York. And then we started off with a Block 15 Great Notion collaboration called Peach Punch. It's an IPA. And then we're drinking Matchless's Big Fizz, which is a whiskey barrel aged ale with lemon and ginger. Tastes just like a whiskey sour.
Yes, very interesting.
And for our fresh hop this evening, we're drinking Breakside's Fresh Hop 2021.
Oh, that is a good one. I had that on tap yesterday.
Did you really? Wow, this is our first pull off it. So Gary winced big time for a minute.
I'm really hoping that it doesn't taste anything like it smells.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's good. Ooh. That's really good. Very green taste to it. So, well, buddy.
Thank God that did not taste like it smelled. Yeah. It smelled like a cat box.
Yeah, I wonder where the hops that we did in that, ooh, where we pulled that from. So,
God, I don't know.
Well, so are you excited for Fresh Hop Fest?
I am excited. I had a chance to finally listen to the episode that you interviewed the marketing guy on Friday afternoon, and yes, I am definitely geeked for it.
Outstanding. Well, I'm going to send you a picture here in just a second. I have our away shirts done up and taken care of, so you all get to see the away shirts, but I had two of them made up. The first batch had an error in it. So we as a group need to figure out what we want to do with those shirts. Would we like to give them away to the listeners that want them, or take them and give them away? Or do we want two shirts? Because the error is actually pretty minor in both cases.
Nice.
But they're pretty cool. So, but the back actually has a kind of a retro look to it with some hop vines coming off of it. And then the front on the left breast, sitting there with our logo. So, and so I'll send you some pictures.
He said breast.
That's right, breast. But yeah, so we have two. So what do we think we want to do with the shirt? Well, I'll let you guys decide, because you each have two shirts. One is aired. Gary's front left pocket is slightly rotated. And then Tim, yours and my second one actually has some places where it looks like the image itself stuck and pulled away a little bit.
Mm.
So, but
so the collector's end.
We have one clean pair for each of us. So, but that said, you also have two shirts. You don't have to pack any shirts.
That's true.
And you can just roll with it. And screw the listeners.
Well, I mean, we need to also make sure that we're advertising and doing our part to promote the four listeners that listen to this show. So,
or what we could do, like the athletes like to do, is it could be a game-worn jersey.
Oh, a sweaty, fresh hop.
And in this case, a fresh hopped festival-worn shirt.
I'm only bringing mine, doing that, if we can get a T-shirt gun.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Tim, can you hook us up with a T-shirt gun?
You could pop one out to a fan.
I think I could come up with something, yep. hey, in high school, we had the potato gun shooter, remember? Didn't
I remember
firing that a few times.
I remember. We probably don't need to talk about that. But yes, we had a spud gun. Yeah, we shot all sorts of stuff.
Little PVC, little hairspray.
I don't even think they make aerosol hairspray anymore. I mean, how would you do a potato gun these days?
Yeah, I don't know. Pressurized CO2.
WD-40.
CO2, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Crazy. All right. Well, so I will send you a picture of the T-shirts and see so you can see what they look like. what else is going on? Are you brewing lately?
Not. I did clean out the kegs and was looking through the Rauch beer book, and I think I found a recipe that I'm intrigued by, but I have not gone to pick anything up yet.
Well, so what's the timeline on that, my friend?
Maybe middle of this week.
Have you been saying that for the last few weeks?
I'm going on over a calendar year.
Yeah. Come on, buddy. You got to get back on the horse.
Yep.
Well, you get a chance to see any of the awards, GABA or NABBA awards?
I have not. GABA, I thought, was this next weekend.
Nope. GABA was this last weekend, the weekend that we just left. So Oregon cleaned house, GABA, and so did Washington. Actually, Washington did better than Oregon at GABA. And then at the North American Brewers Awards, Oregon did better than Washington. So, but again, well represented between the two states. So
go PNW.
That's right. Go PNW. All right, buddy. Well, anything else going on in the beer world with you? What, I mean, craziest, best beer that you've had lately?
Oh gosh. Best beer I had lately. I really like the beer that you guys are drinking right now, that Fresh Hop, cause it was the first one I had. I'll say that was the best. I did open a 17 Abyss a few nights ago. That was aged perfection. Really good. I did want to let your listeners know on Thursday, in the Woodstock Tap House, Double Mountain is going to release their Killer Red and Killer Green. It's going to go on Wednesday night in Hood River. So if you haven't had either Killer Red, Killer Green, or they make one other, can't think of what it is, Killer Red is amazing.
Yeah, the Killer Red's amazing. I know you stock the Killer Red. I mean, you're always looking for where that's at and always grabbing it when you're there. What is the Killer Green?
Killer Green, Killer Lion is the other one. Killer Green is Killer Red is their fresh hopped spin on their Indian Red Ale. So they fresh hop that. That's why it's Killer Red. Killer Green is, why am I drawing a blank on their other beer? Hey, pay no attention as I'm stalling for time. Killer Green is Vaporizer, which is their other big IPA that they've had forever that they throw a little fresh hops in.
Oh, sweet. That'll be awesome. Well, cool. Well, that's a great little, sidebar for the listeners to check out. So that's at the Woodstock Brewery location.
Yes.
Awesome. Cool. All right, buddy. Well, we're going to get out of here. So thanks for joining us on, and we'll catch up here soon. And like I said, I'll send you pictures of the shirt, and we're on the true countdown. We're about 20 days away until Fresh Hop Fest down in Yakima. So, and I got that.
All right.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Sounds good. Hey, Gary, until then, make sure you stay on the sidewalk, all right?
Yeah, I'll make sure I do that.
Take care, guys.
All right, we're back.
Good old Timmy.
That's our boy, Tim. So he's always a guy breaking news for us. How about that guy?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. What else we got? So I guess we will move to Kickstarter. Kickstart my heart.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right, Kickstart My Heart, the family-friendly How You Should Spend Your Money edition.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, We've heard about some great Kickstarter campaigns that are related to beer and brewing. And so all we do is jump into Kickstarter each episode here and just see what are the ways that we could spend our money on something cool as it relates to beer and brewing.
And we've seen some great success stories come out of this.
Yeah, I mean, Timber Patch Brewing up out of Morton. And again, Growler Works, all sorts of good stuff here. So three that I pulled out off the old Kickstarter machine here, and it's Coliseum Brewing out of New Zealand.
Ooh.
So they are a small brewery out of New Zealand that did an initial campaign to get their brewery up and running. And they are looking for $15,000. And so far, they have $82.
That's $82.
But it's only been going for a couple days.
So, okay.
They have 27 days to go. And so they are looking basically to get their keg brewery up and scale the size of their brewery because they didn't go big enough. And so they want to make their brewery bigger. But
yeah, so they need to be bigger.
Yeah, so they do custom small batches of beer, canned and labeled for special events. And basically, you tell them what you want, and they'll make the beer for you.
No kidding.
Yeah. So kind of cool. But, yeah, if you're interested in Kickstarter for Coliseum Brewing, type them in, and you'll find them there. So
I wonder what the perks are on that one.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. Let's see. Every little bit helps for a buck. Let's see. You get nothing except a nice thank you.
Sure.
$10, you get a limited edition Coliseum sticker and a logo sticker. $50, you get a glass and some stickers. And let's see, $75, you get a t-shirt, glass, and sticker.
Okay.
So $500, you get a glass, sticker, and some other stuff. So
they have one in there where they actually fly you down to have some beer?
No, it's not on there. But for $2,000, they're going to put your name on a beer. So
ooh.
You get your name on a beer, and you get your name on one of the fermenters.
Nice.
That might be worth doing right there.
Heck yeah.
They're going to call this the Boss Hog. All right.
Reedinator.
Well, so the second one that I see here is a beer facts trivia game. So we had another game on the episode a while ago.
Yeah.
And so these guys have a beer facts game, and they are looking to raise $5,000. They've already raised $1,000. They've got 48 days to go. Essentially, this thing is a card game that looks like kind of like Trivial Pursuit. But essentially, you are doing beer facts. So it gives you like the name of a beer, and you come up with like the style, how you pour it, the glassware, maybe some different varieties, that type of stuff. So there's all sorts of stuff on this thing.
That might be a cool one just to get to improve beer knowledge.
I agree. So pledge $20, you get a digital copy of the cards. $29, you get a first run of Beer Facts the game. $55, you get two copies of the game. And $80, you get three copies of Beer Facts. And you can kind of see how this goes.
Oh, yeah.
$200, NFT. Each NFT purchase will include two NFTs. Don't know what that is. One on the entire card sheet. And another of a single unique side of Beer Facts. Officially facts. NFTs will be extremely limited. What is an NFT? Do we know that?
I'm not real sure.
Yeah, I don't know what an NFT is. So, anyways, pretty cool. I might have to do that one. That one seems pretty awesome. So, and then our last one here is Hopefully Brewing out of Ireland. These are a couple of lads that are looking to raise about 15,000 euros. They currently have actually 17,000 euros. They have a buck pledge so far. One backer, 41 days to go. This is brand new. And these guys are a socially and culturally conscious artisan brewery based out of Ireland. Huh. So if you're looking to fund a brewery out of Ireland, these are your guys. $20 gets you some posters and stickers. $120 or euros gets you a booklet with recipes, some tips, some other swag. Let's see what the top one is. $3,500. The highest reward we have to offer, and it is a limited to only one lucky person, a business, or a group of friends. You will help us create an exclusive bespoke product with your signature on it. Huh. We're not allowed to offer alcohol on Kickstarter, but check our webpage and hopefully you'll see more details. So I'm guessing you make your own beer and they ship it to you.
Yeah, so. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, so kind of cool. But yeah, these guys here, looks like three of them in Ireland, want to make an artesian brewery. So. All right, that is Kickstart My Heart, baby. So three things that you can invest in on Kickstarter that are either beer or brewery related. So pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, one's pretty good knowledge-based. The other two, you can actually get your name on things.
Yeah, no, that was a good look around. So Ireland, New Zealand, and then a Beer Facts trivia game. I'm actually intrigued by that Beer Facts trivia game.
Yeah.
That looks pretty interesting, so... All right, well, let's switch over to our another fun segment of Beer News.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
All right, Beer News. Here we are.
2021.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's a lot of beer news happening. So, two big, huge award ceremonies. And I don't know if you've ever heard of NABBA. I know we just mentioned it with Tim on the interview. But it's the North American Beer Awards, or right. Brewers Awards. So.
Yeah, Brewers Awards.
Yeah, so those are held. Any idea where those are held?
No idea.
Those are held in Twin Falls, Idaho, every year.
Really?
I know. I was blowing my mind. So I see, like, all these guys, like, posted, like, Sun River Brewing's got a bunch of NABBA Awards up, and, I mean, other brewers around town. So here I'm thinking, oh, yeah, they must be, like, in New York or, like, Toronto.
Right in the smack dab of Idaho.
Twin Falls, baby.
Interesting.
So next year, Tim, Gary, and I, we're going to NABBA, dude.
We're just going to have to know the dates way ahead of time.
Yeah, well, we're going to NABBA. It's because it was like basically 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So it'll be like 2 or 3 weeks ago next year. So,
okay. Yeah.
And it's a huge party, dude. It's like a big, huge beer fest in northern Idaho, or not northern, southern Idaho. And they do the beer awards there.
So my question on that is do you have to be an actual brewery to have your entry into that?
I don't know. I'll have to go back and take a look at
some
of that. That'd
be the interesting thing.
Yeah. So, but the NABBA Awards this year, Oregon came in with 18 medals. Actually, I take that back.
22.
10 Barrel got 18 medals.
Damn.
In general. So... let's see. I'm botching this here. 10 Barrel Brewing came out on top of the NABBA this year with 18 medals, and three Oregon brewing locations, actually four 10 Barrel, actually were involved in entering their beers. So,
got it.
But that's the most amount that was won this year was 10 Barrel, and so they came out and just killed it. Breakside.
Best in show.
Yeah, no, I mean, Breakside came out, and they were awesome as well. They had 8 golds, 4 silver, and 5 bronze.
Nice.
So Breakside was absolutely ripping it up. The Bend area had basically 39 total medals with Sun River Brewing, Deschutes, and Worthy all cleaning house. Three Creeks was there.
That's insane.
And Portland Breweries had 35 medals with Von Ebert coming in with 5 of their own. So
very nice.
Yeah, so I mean, it was pretty crazy. Pelican did their awesomeness, and they had three medals as well.
Okay.
Foreland Brewing had a couple. Elkhorn had some. And then over to Washington. Washington was very, very competitive. They had 21 medals total. And so, as you'd expect, Grains of Wrath was there.
Yep.
Vancouver's Fortside Brewing. Like, Vancouver, Southwest Washington has beer stuff going on, man.
They've really stepped up their game.
They have, man. It was going crazy over there. So, Woodinville won some awards. Elysian won some awards. Fortside, Fremont, Grains of Wrath, Haywire, Ravana, Rubens Brews, our friends over there. But, yeah, so all sorts of stuff. But this beer awards... NABBA Beer Awards, we got to check this thing out because the more I look at it, it looks like next year's away trip. So,
might be.
Yep. All right. So, and then GABF was this weekend, this past weekend here.
Okay.
GABF was crazy. Oregon Breweries won 15 medals, and Washington Breweries won 22 medals at this year's Great American Beer Festival. So all sorts of great stuff happening. But running through here, Three Creeks won a gold medal for their Stonefly Session. Who else won a gold here? Out of the American-style India Pale Ale, Volatile Substance by Von Ebert won.
Nice.
So, pretty awesome there. And then also for Belgian fruit beers, Stone Fruit Symphony, Ale Song Brewing won a gold medal. So hats off to Ale Song Brewing.
Ale Song right there.
Again, they're doing some awesome stuff. And then our friends over at Block 15 won a gold for their alt beer, a German-style alt beer category.
Oh, fantastic.
Chuckanut Brewing out of Washington, out of Burlington, Washington, won German-style Kolsch. So they won the Kolsch. And let's see what else we see here. Anybody else? Oh, where we're going here in a couple weeks. So our friends over at Varietal Brewing won a silver medal. So yeah, so hats off to the guys over at Varietal. I saw a tweet or an Instagram post from one of the guys over there saying, we're not going to win Jack. And here they walked out with a silver medal.
They walked out with silver. So we'll get to see the hardware when we're up there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So pretty awesome stuff, but... And then also in the beer news this week, Zupan's Market is collaborating with Old Town Brewing to partner on a farm-to-market Oktoberfest Marzen-style lager.
Ooh, farm-to-market.
Yeah, so this thing's going to be $4.19 for a single can or $13.99 for a four-pack. It's 3% and 15 IBU.
Super crushable.
Yep, super crushable. But Marzen style lager. So perfectly timed, very Oktoberfest looking themed cans. So check it out. Zupan's is a kind of a high end kind of market in the Portland metro area.
Yeah.
And off of West Burnside, McAdam, and Lake Oswego. So you should be able to find this here in the next couple weeks there. But this is going to be an awesome, awesome beer, I think. So.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's going to be all locally sourced ingredients.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so it's going to be fresh. Be looking at the date on the can to make sure it's fresh, right? But obviously it's a lager, so it took a little time to do
this. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're going to lager correctly, you're looking at a good month to 2 months worth of just lagering itself, let alone the brewing phase.
Yeah. That's right, my friend. Well, that is what we have for this week's episode of Beer News. All right, beer news, man. Well, we missed something. You talked about the Zymergy Awards.
Yes, so, the Homebrewers Awards also were done. Tons of entries, lots of medals given out. The really interesting thing was that they usually print all the first or all the gold medal winner recipes in there. And by the time print came around, three of those gold medal winners had not submitted their recipes yet. So they went ahead and went to print without them. Did the silver medal recipes instead and said that the gold medals recipes would be published in future publications.
Well, that'll be something for us to hit next time. We'll take some time peruse over those because... Yeah, it's award season, man. Beer award season is here doing its thing.
Yeah, and I noticed there was actually, I believe it was a Salem, Oregon couple that took home one of the golds.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember the beer style, but yeah, I was kind of impressed. I was like, oh, hey, there we go. Representing.
Well, you need to talk about Beer 3 because I don't think we've talked about Beer 3 yet.
What is Beer 3? Is Beer 3 the... Oh, yes, Beer 3. Beer 3 is very interesting.
What do you think of it? What does it have the taste of?
It's like a hot toddy in beer form.
Yeah, it's like a whiskey sour.
Like a whiskey sour.
Yeah.
It's got some lemon in there, and you can definitely taste the lemon. It's got some ginger. You can smell and taste the ginger.
And the big, huge, oaky whiskey taste.
Oh, yeah, big whiskey, oaky barrel taste to it.
Yeah, so this is Matchless Brewing's Big Fizz. It is a whiskey barrel aged beer with lemon and ginger, and it is a whiskey sour. Like it
you
is.
Know, the interesting thing is the warmer that beer gets, the more Yeah, I just like it the more it warms up.
Yeah, it's a boozy little
beer. It's interesting.
So, yeah, good beer, nice amber color on it, and again,
gorgeous. Clean, too.
Barely tell it's beer.
Very, very clean.
Craziness. All right, well, what else we got here? So, we've got homebrew news. So, what is going on? You spent all day brewing.
God. I'm really starting to learn a lot about guys that start off in home brewing, open a brewery, and then work their job and then do the brewery at the same time.
Right.
It's insane. I don't know how they do it or how they did it. I'm averaging about 2 brews a month, and I'm just, it's killing me.
Yeah, it's
it just wears me out.
Just a regular thing. I mean, you brewed,
and I'm only doing 5 gallons at a time.
Better balance of the day, right?
So yeah, it's nuts.
But so, what are you doing with all this beer?
Well, I got the stupid idea this year of, hey, I've done beer in the past for Christmas for people, and it was usually like a Christmas beer or something along those lines. This year, I decided, hey, I'm going to do a 4-pack. Of beer, and I'm going to do them themed. I'm going to do the Very Berry Christmas pack.
Ooh.
So they're all going to be berry-themed beers.
So what is the Kolsch? The Kolsch is a berry?
The Kolsch is going to be a strawberry.
Oh, it's a strawberry
Strawberry Kolsch.
Cool.
The first two that I've got done already, this will be the third one. The strawberry Kolsch is the third in the iteration. But the first one was a blackberry Kolsch-ish IPA that I overhopped.
Oh.
But it's mellowed out beautifully. I'm really impressed with the way that beer mellowed out. The second is a completely experimental beer that I did with Mecca Grade's Lion's Head malt, which is a slightly smoky malt that they had in the field when the Lion's Head fires went through. So I had most of my grain bill was that and a little bit of other stuff to balance it out. And then I added blueberry to it. That one is, the jury's still out on that, on how that tastes. I'm hoping it mellows out a little more, gets a little more taste to it. Then the third one, obviously, is the strawberry Kolsch.
Okay.
And then the last one is going to be a red raspberry oatmeal milk chocolate stout.
Oh.
So that one will be ready to go into the can as far as brewing goes, I'd say in 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
As long as the strawberry Kolsch does what it... Oh, I take that back. It won't be 2 weeks. I'm doing a beer in between that one and the strawberry Kolsch.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do a pumpkin ale.
Oh, okay. Did you do the Marzen? Have you done the Marzen?
I've done the Marzen. Okay. It's in the keg.
Okay.
It's been crazy over there at Dale Earnhardt Brewing, just beers right and left. But the Marzen, it's been really interesting because I've been adapting all the recipes that I've done in the past to strictly Mecca grain or Mecca grade malts.
Right.
And seeing that conversion and tasting what those taste like. Versus, like, let's say the Marzen, which would usually be done with all German grains, I did them with all Mecca grade grains. And then I threw in just a pinch of rye for head retention.
Right.
And it tastes fantastic before it's even carbonated.
Oh, I'm sure.
I cannot wait for that beer. But I've done that with all the recipes going forward. I've tried to adapt them to all Mecca grade malts just to see what kind of flavor profiles I can get out of it.
Outstanding. Well, I've got, what do I have? I kegged the fantastic little Marzen that I did, or the best beer. I didn't do a Marzen.
Well, didn't you do like a split batch of It was more like the Beer Fest beer, right?
So I did the Fest beer.
Yeah.
So I did that. And so that's a traditional, like, German Munich, kind of a Hell's Lager type thing.
Right.
And it's in the keg doing its thing, getting its carb on right now. So it'll get crashed here pretty soon. But and then I did with the rest, because I did a half batch of that.
Yeah.
With the rest of that grain bill, I took, which is essentially a bunch of Pilsner malt and a little bit of two row.
Okay.
I basically overhopped it with some Galaxy hops.
was this the hop monster you created?
Yeah. So I threw in a bunch of boiling hops of Saniam. And then I took Galaxy and Citra and used those as some aromatics at the last 15.
Okay.
And then I fresh hopped it from my yard with my Mount Hood Centennials and Cascades.
Oh, my God.
I picked a big old bowl of these things. And as I transferred it over to the keg,
yeah,
I dropped them in a sock, those fresh hops, in a sock into the keg. So this is the cold side, what they call cold side
cold
fresh
side hopping. Yeah.
And so they are sitting in there at a pressure of roughly 24, 25 on the CO2.
How long are you leaving them in there?
They'll go in for about 4 days. So I'll pull them out tomorrow. And so they'll come out, and then, again, I'll repressurize the keg, and we should be drinking that this coming weekend.
I was going to say, you're going to have to drink that quick for that to be to still be in the fresh hop category.
So now there's about 2.5 gallons of it, so that'll go pretty quick.
Yeah, it will.
And really, they say with that 2.5 gallons that's there, you'll lose some because the hops and that hop sock absorb some of it.
Yep.
It's not going to absorb a bunch, but you'll be a little lost, but it's going to go fast. So, and Will's already calling. He's like, dude, I want some of that. So I think we may have a campfire next weekend and tap the fresh hop. And just
well,
see
between
what,
him and Johnny, boy, there'll be nothing left.
Yeah, and I tasted what came out.
Yeah.
It's a good tasting beer, dude. Like, prior to fresh hopping, it was a good tasting beer.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's going to be good. Like, totally experimental. It was just a bunch of random crap that I had left over.
Yeah, complete one-off. What do they call them?
Essentially just one-off beer, dude.
Yeah, cupboard beers.
Yeah,
whatever's left in the cupboard, you throw it in and see what you get.
Bunch of random stuff plus my hops, so it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. And then, so, Fest beer's in, and then the Rauch beer is waiting for some keg space. So, I'm contemplating buying a third keg, and I'm like, I don't really. I mean, this is the only time of year I would need a third keg.
5 gallon, or?
So, it's imperative that we drain. Nope, it's 2.5.
Okay.
Actually, it's 2, because it's the Rauch.
Oh, I gotcha. So, it's imperative that we drain
the
fresh hop.
Yeah. Because it needs the little teeny keg. So, but that speaks to, I bought a small keg. So I bought on Amazon, Yao Brow or Yao Brew.
Yeah.
They sell these little 2.5 kegs, 2.5 gallon kegs. Bought one of those. It was here overnight with Amazon shipping. And comes totally pressurized, which I'm sure is to hold shape so it doesn't dent and all that stuff. But this thing is badass. It's just a little snubby keg that will fit in any fridge, no problem.
That's the nice thing. And you can do half batches
and you
on
can
a five-gallon system, right?
Or you could do a full batch and just do 2 kegs.
Well, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then if you split the batch, then you could do, and it's fresh hop season, you could fresh hop half of it with Cascade, half of it with Mount Hood, or whatever you wanted to do. So.
Well, and then let's take that a step further, being the dark beer guys that we are.
Yeah.
You could split your batch and do half on nitro and half on CO2.
You could.
And do a taste comparison.
Endless possibilities with
it's
these
amazing.
Small kegs. So.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of digging. For the last couple of years, I've been jerking around with these small batches, really trying to perfect this cream ale recipe that I've come up with.
Right.
But then also seeing really what the differences in hops, yeast, and then what some of the other adjuncts that we use in some of these beers are. And so,
right.
It's pretty interesting, but yeah, this little 2.5 gallon keg is so cute compared to my big old monster 5 gallon keg. So, and then I got finally broke down and bought a CO2 manifold versus playing the game of priming one and then priming another and jumping back and priming in the next one. And so kind of converting back and forth. Now they constantly have CO2.
So here's my question for
you.
And the listeners will probably be very interested in this part of it. So when you're talking manifold versus, let's say, dual gauge.
Yep.
What's the benefit or what's the difference between the two? Or like what I mean by dual bodied. So you could have a dual bodied CO2 regulator that each has its own pressurization adaptions or whatever, and then you have a manifold. So what are the differences between the two?
Yeah, so the manifold's just going to be the same pressure. It's one pressure. So everything is sitting at the same carbonation pressure.
Gotcha, so, okay.
And really what that's designed for is if you were pouring beer out of a keg system, right, then it's the same pressure just delivering whatever tap that you're pulling off of. Here in this case, I am just carbing the beers the same with the same. What you were talking about with the gauges, then I can, based upon the style of beer,
you
right,
can
a
do
stout could be lighter pressure than, say, a Pilsner.
Gotcha.
Right? I could
okay.
do different pressures that way. So.
So your manifold is if you're serving all your beers at the same pressures.
Yep.
Got
totally.
It. Okay.
So, yeah, and it'll come out well, or not just serving, but priming. I mean,
priming.
So
as well.
Really what I'm doing is priming, because then the serving is the flow of the beer that's coming out. And we know we just need enough CO2 to kind of propel it out.
Correct.
To avoid foaming. So
right.
But, yeah, I mean, so interesting stuff. It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. But the bigger thing is I'm like, okay, I've got this little snubby, and I've got this big one, and they both need CO2 now.
Right.
I'm camping like crazy, so I'm always out of town. So I don't have time to sit there and move the tap like I was doing between
gotcha.
The CO2. So it's just like, all right. But bigger story is fresh hot beer next weekend. This is probably going to be a very hoppy son of a gun. So
it's going to be right up John and Will's alleys.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm just priming us. I'm priming us for the Fresh Hop Ale Festival.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that's all fresh hopped beers.
Yeah, all fresh hopped beers, and it's going to be a show. I can guarantee. So, all right, buddy. Well, I don't think we have anything else. What I will say is to the listeners, we will be back here next week. I believe we got some interviews set up. That are coming up, so we'll come at you then. So, but until then, Tim Beers.
Thanks for listening to the Portland Tim Beers Podcast. Be sure to visit the Portland Tim Beers Podcast on acast.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. If you love the Tim Beers Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes. Until next time, Tim Beers.